All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. It is Adam Cast IRL. Today is Thursday, and it is a new day in 2021. I hope you're having a good day out there. And with me today, I actually have a special guest. I have Eliza Blue with me. Welcome to the show, Eliza.
Hi, Adam. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure. I've been following you for a long time. You've been a very outspoken advocate for sex trafficking victims everywhere and bringing light to the fact that it exists a lot more than people realize. And I kind of had an awakening this year on many different fronts. And that was one of them. I watched and reported on the U.S. Marshals, for example, just taking down sex trafficking rings all over the place in many different states, cross states, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids, which is just a travesty, you know. And then I found you and started following you, and you started, I mean, you're just very outspoken about it. And you yourself are a survivor, right?
Yeah, I'm a survivor of human trafficking. I was trafficked when I was, I was groomed at age 15. I like to always add that in because it took my former abusers 2 years to actually sex traffic me. So I was groomed at age 15 and I was sex trafficked at age 17 in Hollywood, California. And I was sold for $500 to a gentleman that lived in the hills. And fortunately, I was able to get out rather quickly. Unfortunately, much like a lot of survivors, because that initial trauma was there, I went back to the lifestyle later on in life. I was sex trafficked a total 9 years.
Wow. I mean, so you said you were being groomed at 15. What does that mean? Do you mind? Well, first off, do you mind getting into the details or, you know, explaining, you know, talking about that kind of stuff? I don't want to push you into anything that, you know, that would make you uncomfortable. But if you, because I was actually in the modeling world. You mentioned California in LA, and I saw some inappropriate behavior throughout my life of you know, being, you know, in that industry, which is similar. You know, I guess, you know, you think what LA is, it's the land of movie stars, and not just the movie stars, it's the wannabe stars, the people that go there to become a star. Now I've seen a few of your interviews, so I got the sense that that's kind of what you were going there to do. Am I right?
Yeah, I was promised a bogus modeling deal, and I was promised that I would be a star, and I was homeschooled, so I didn't realize how the world really was and how evil people could really be. And, you know, so I just, it is very difficult. So the grooming for me looked a little bit different than it does today. Sometimes we still see similar grooming, but now more or less, a lot of it goes on social media. I'm 39 years old, so that was quite a few years ago. But but it now
you're 39?
It looks a little bit different.
Sorry, I'm shocked at that. I was expecting that. I thought you were much younger than I am. But
well,
nice. I wasn't expecting that. Okay, but continue, please.
Thank you.
Just caught me off guard.
I appreciate that. No, you're good. I got a couple things for you, actually, to catch you off guard of this interview. Don't worry. I came prepared.
Okay. Sure, yeah, of course.
Anyway, long story short is, yes, we see it quite a bit in the entertainment industry, but it can happen to anyone. It could literally happen to anyone. When we're talking about human trafficking, we're talking about force, fraud, or coercion for the sale of labor or sex. That includes the black market sale of human organs. That includes illegal adoption. That includes child marriage in some circumstances. Unfortunately, not at all. Can you believe it?
No.
So there are quite a few things that that human trafficking entails. And then sex trafficking is under that initial umbrella of human trafficking.
So it's all encompassing. There's a lot going on there. Now, you know,
there's
we
a lot
know
going
that
on
it happens. Yeah, we know that it happens in other places, but so you're saying that we have, you know, even in America, that it's going on where, you know, kids are being married off and organs are being sold on the black market. So, I mean, the more I dig into most things, the more disgusted I get and the more I can't even say that I'm shocked anymore. And that's sad. That saddens me, you know. It's crazy.
Well, Adam, you know, throughout history, there have been periods where parents have eaten their children in order to stay alive. So would it surprise us that someone would sell a child for the for sex. I mean, it's realistically, when we look at history, let's look at history for what it is. And I think when folks stop turning a blind eye to what's actually going on, they're going to really, we can actually make some progress with this issue. We need to stop counting on the United States government to handle everything for us and start taking a proactive stance towards this issue and situation. I always let folks know that if I waited for the government to save me, I'd be dead.
Yeah. I mean, people need to realize that the government is not there to carry you through life. They were there to create basically a defensible army to basically defend against foreign nations and essentially handle the conversation with foreign nations. Really, that's what it boils down to, what we needed the states to come together and be united. And you know, now it's become, they're just the rulers of this country, you know, and they're certainly not the saviors that that you just kind of, people expect them to be
under no circumstances. When we keep waiting for governments to handle this, we are going to run into more and more of a problem. Internationally, we're looking at 40.3 million folks trapped in modern day slavery.
40.3 million people trapped in modern day
slavery. Correct. Those are the projected numbers. So, correct. Wow. Oh, internationally, not in the United States. Oh my gosh, my cats are going crazy with my light. That's fine.
Internationally, of course.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear him, but man, that is a sad number to realize. Man, 43 million. Did you hear that, everybody? 40.3 million people right now in modern day slavery / sex trafficking. You know, I'm sure being forced labor, of course, is in there. You know, my goodness, that's nuts. Where do those numbers come from?
You know, it's really, really difficult to get these numbers. It kind of depends on different organizations pulling their databases. We also have the National Human Trafficking Hotline. That specific statistic is on the National Human Trafficking Hotline here in the United States.
Yeah. So what changed for you when you, you said that you went back and you were actually in this, I'm going to call it a system, for 9 years. And what you know, helped you get out of it? Was it something that you did? You said the government didn't. If you would have waited for the government, it wouldn't have. Was it someone that helped you get out, or did you do it yourself? Like, you know, tell us the story there.
Yeah, I love telling this part of the story. The other part's not so fun to tell, but I love telling this part. I was watching YouTube, believe it or not. I was watching YouTube and I came across a survivor. Her name is Annie. And I've since been able to connect with this survivor, and it's been so incredible, total full circle moment in my life. And I was watching her, and she was telling her experience. And I started to connect it. She started to put words to my experience. And I decided to reach out for help. So I sent an organization an email, and they responded very quickly. And I had an advocate right away, and they came and moved me out of my place in the middle of the night. In Chicago, I went to a safe house 3 states away.
That's awesome. Can you give a shout out to this organization? Because it sounds like an incredible place that was able to help you out. What was that? The name of that place?
I would love to shout them out. But I always let folks know that when I left the game, my traffickers lost a lot of money. So therefore, much like in my circumstance now as an advocate, we are at a high risk. My traffickers are very organized. And
really?
Are still trying. Definitely. 100%.
Wow.
They're no joke. So folks, a lot of times ask me questions like, how come I've never pressed charges? And it gets really dicey. You know, it's really scary. I'm a very strong, I would consider myself a pretty strong woman, but I am terrified that they would kill myself, my family, or people that I care about. That's how organized they are. It's wild, right?
Now, you tweeted out, I think it was about a month ago, that they still follow you on Twitter and they still even messaged you. Is that correct? That's
actually
crazy.
The latest direct message that I got from my former abuser was on Instagram. So they still watch my social media. You know, they still are trying to get me to come back. And it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, but I just keep moving forward. And I'm grateful that this year, you know, so let's back it up a little bit. So I wasn't a public survivor leader. And yeah, okay. Sorry, Adam.
No, that's fine. You lead the way here. You know, it's fine.
Adam, so my best friend and I always say your name differently. So we always say like Adam, like we'll be like Adam, we'll just call you Krigler or Creepler or whatever version of your last name that we can get. It's hilarious.
That's okay.
I mean, okay, cool. We've been, you know, having fun at your expense. But
say it Krigler, but you can say it however you want. It's fine. Which is the way you say it?
We have a lot of different versions, and I don't know if any of them are. I'll tell you off camera. Anyway.
Okay. Sure.
Because I couldn't say your last name at first. It's a long story. Anyway. So I wasn't a public survivor leader until April of 2020. I did my first public interview as a survivor for the Daily Wire. And that was really just out of necessity. I was contacting different journalists in anticipation of the COVID-19 lockdown. We were already seeing the COVID-19 lockdown. So I was reaching out to different journalists to let them know that this was the perfect storm for human trafficking. Yeah. And unfortunately, I was correct. So I was reaching out to different journalists, and Amanda from the Daily Wire asked me if I would mind going public. And for the first time, I decided to, not really because I wanted to necessarily, but because she said it would help get the story out. And I wanted to reach as many youth and parents as possible with the information. I knew that during the COVID-19 lockdowns, that while folks were stuck at home, while children were stuck at home with nothing to do, that it would be a breeding ground for predators and pedophiles, traffickers to contact children. And under no circumstances did I want to see that happen. I wanted to beat them to the punch. So I went public. And since then, it's been kind of wild, Adam. It has.
Yeah. Good for you, though. You know, because who knows that there's that, you know, person out there that was where you were when you found Annie, right? Was her name? On YouTube.
Yeah.
To give you the strength to reach out for help, to pull you out of the situation you were in, you know? So the more people like you stand up and speak out for the things that are going on, the more power you're going to give to the people that need that help, that power to see someone like yourself that, you know, pulled yourself out, you know, because you found somebody. And now I can only hope that because you're standing out and being so outspoken, and you know, even you've enlightened me on many things, you know, and I've spoken out about this kind of stuff now. So it's like through your light, I'm also now speaking out because, you know, I relay facts that you lay down some serious facts, and it's some, you know, I've learned some pretty it's a dark world out there, and it's pretty crazy to know some of the stuff that you talk about. And more people need to realize how dark it can be out there. You know, so good for you for standing out. It's amazing. Yeah.
Thanks. So I mean, I wasn't expecting it. It's not what I wanted, because I know that my former abusers are out there. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I just tried to lay low. That's actually pretty much the main reason. And I also, believe it or not, Adam, I didn't think I had much to say. And I thought I was really stupid. That's the truth. I thought I was really stupid. But you have to remember that my former abusers instilled this thing in me where I was stupid. You know, I don't have a GED. There's a lot of things that maybe on paper I don't have going for me, and they really played off those vulnerabilities. So they always told me that I was only worth my looks, that I was stupid. And that's kind of one of the other reasons I never spoke out before, is because I was really made to feel like I had nothing to say. So it's been a really incredible, heartwarming experience, because I've had the opportunity to connect with survivors literally all around the world. Now I've had an opportunity to serve hundreds of survivors in 6 countries. It's been an absolutely incredible experience. Of course, I teamed up with the Epstein survivors as a part of Victims Refuse Silence. And we're just hitting it full steam. We're just hitting it full steam.
Well, and it's needed now more than ever, because you mentioned, you know, the lockdowns are the breeding ground for this kind of stuff to happen. And there was an uptick, a serious uptick in trafficking. And I've noticed that because I, you know, when I was on the Timcast show, like we were constantly, you know, sifting through the news. And that was one of the things that kept popping up, is that, you know, human trafficking was a thing. And, you know, the whole Q thing, whatever, the movement aside, I'm not talking about, the political side of it. They were very much advocates of sex trafficking victims, and that, you know, there's a big ring out there,
Adam,
that people don't want to talk about.
Adam,
go ahead.
Adam, I'm gonna push back on you a little bit there. I'm gonna push back on you a little bit there.
Sure, sure.
That hasn't necessarily been my experience. Experience is
Which
there's
part?
Been a lot of with that group. My experience with that group has been there's been a lot of misinformation spread, and advocates like myself, survivors like myself, have stepped forward and asked them to please only post accurate information. And this is coming with someone that works directly. I work directly with the survivors. So I also have been an advocate for many years, and I'm a survivor as well. It is imperative, and it is on us to stick to the facts. The facts are that the human trafficking hotline has been around in the United States for 10 plus years. They've helped, I think it's something wild, like 60,000 survivors. Our first law in the United States was written into, our first law around human trafficking was written into the United States 20 years ago. There's been survivors like myself serving other survivors. Do you know that the organization that helped serve me was around long before the Obama administration? So let's call a spade a spade. They want to take credit for something that they simply cannot take credit for. They're trying to take the place and be the voice for survivors. You always let survivors speak. Always.
Okay. Right on. Well, that's what I was.
And I'd also
go ahead.
I'd also like to point out that during the Wayfair situation, and you know, the folks that follow this, I understand. There's a cat fight going on my foot. Your followers. I understand that this will make you upset, but the fact of the matter is that they clogged up the human trafficking hotline during the Wayfair situation, making it virtually impossible for victims and survivors to get through.
Well, for the record,
I didn't
follow Q, and I have a feeling a lot of the people that follow me weren't into that scene either, because, you know, I didn't talk about it. There might be a few people out there, but it's just one of the few things that came from their message that I was like, all right, well, I can get behind that, because I knew it existed. So, you know, it was just part of that conversation. But you make a really good point. They aren't the pioneers, you know, it's almost as if they were grifting off as everything that they literally everything that they can.
Oh my God, and, Adam, I'm so sorry. My cats are fighting.
That's okay. That's all right.
I'm so sorry, Adam.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But the point remains
grifting off of my interview.
they want their 15 minutes of fame.
they're trying to have an MMA. Adam, they're trying to have an MMA match.
Oh yeah,
oh my
that's funny,
gosh. Adam. No. This is my worst nightmare. I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry about it. It's fine. That was.
And these
oh my
two
gosh.
Particular
they're
cats
really fighting.
These two cats have had beef for years. In fact,
really?
One of them ran away. He ran away for like 9 months because of the other one. Let me see if I can kick them out so we can get some peace. Sorry, keep talking, Adam.
Okay. No, that's fine. So. No, you made a really good point, you know, because a lot of the stuff that we're finding out about that whole Q movement is BS anyway. You know, it's like none of the stuff that they were claiming came true. It's all, you know, a lot of people are saying it was a PSYOP. I believe that it was a PSYOP because they got a lot of people that were probably could have done more advocating for actual change. They were just believing some sort of plan that was going to take place, thinking Trump was actually some sort of.
Listen,
I don't know, it's greater than normal person, you know, which he's just a normal person. You know, no one's special. Everyone's got to earn their keep, you know, so I don't know. I think the PSYOP explanation made more sense. And they catered to a lot of people by using that term, you know, saying save the children or whatnot, you know, and it had a lot of people out there going, yeah, save the children. That's a good idea. Including myself. I was like, you know what? That's something that I agree with. And then I didn't look into Q. I looked into kids being trafficked and like trying what I can help there. And then I found that U.S. Marshals were out there actually saving hundreds and hundreds of children over the past, you know, 6 or 7 months because there were actual sex rings that they were stopping. So you know, it's funny because it didn't get me to go to Cube. It got me to like learn more about what was happening. And that's actually how I found your account, because I noticed that you were speaking out about it. So
it's always imperative that we just I have them separated for now. One's in timeout.
We'll see
how long this lasts. I am so sorry about that, Adam. You know what's funny? I've been doing interviews for months and months, and I've been waiting for these cats to fight. And you know what? They've never fully gotten crazy during my interviews, and now is the time they decide to.
That's all right.
This is hilarious. Story of my life. I'm about to put but long story short, Adam, is that we've been collecting data and statistics about this issue for a very, very long time. And a lot of survivors have stepped forward. So I always think it's imperative to listen to survivors of these crimes first. The Epstein survivors are a perfect example of what can happen when someone steps forward. John Doe today with the Twitter case, perfect example of what happens when someone steps forward. I think it's very important that we listen to those who have been collecting facts, data, and statistics for many years about this issue. We didn't need anyone else to expose it. Yeah.
Please finish your sentence, though. You didn't need anybody to expose something that was already being handled in a sense, although they did shine more light on it.
The elites were, listen, it takes the survivors stepping forward in order to shine light on it. The elites have already been being exposed. Look at Peter Nygaard. He's had, I think they've interviewed 500 women in this case. Peter Nygaard's high profile like Jeffrey Epstein. There have been Epstein affiliates that are also come down as well. Survivors of these crimes should always be listened to first.
Yeah.
And well, to be brutally honest, that group just has clogged up the situation with misinformation. I've repeatedly said this. I'm not saying this as a political thing. This is a factual thing. Sorry, I'm still trying to keep cats out. Look at me trying to have my little attitude and deal with cats at the same time.
That's all right. No, you make a good point, though. Peter Nygaard, Epstein, who else? The guy from L.A. I don't remember the guy's name.
This is a tale as old as time. It takes. Yeah. Oh, Weinstein. It takes the survivor stepping forward. Let the survivor speak. Amplify the voices of survivors. It will tell you everything that you need to know. And if one story sounds like a cherry pick situation, go to the human trafficking hotline. They've been collecting data and statistics for many, many years.
Yeah. Well, what shocks me is that 20 years ago was our first law written into to help protect sex trafficking. Like, what? Only 20 years ago? Like, that's pretty crazy to me. Do you know what the law is by off the top of your head? What was it?
Oh, gosh. You're testing my knowledge now.
That's okay. Sorry, I'm curious, though.
It's the law that actually makes human trafficking illegal in the United States. So it's the actual law that makes human trafficking illegal. There have been a couple things that have been added since then, like FOSTA SES in 2018. FOSTA SES is specifically for those that have been sex trafficked online, human trafficked online.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, let's talk about this, because I see this is, everyone's talking about this right now on Twitter. And I know that you have a few things to say about it. I'm just going to read this out to everyone here. Twitter refused to remove child porn because it didn't violate policies, and they're being sued for it now. All right. This is pretty incredible. You know what? We could just talk about it, because I know you know a lot about it. I've read about it a lot as well. So this child who was, I think, 13, right, was coerced into, you know, I don't know if it was a video, right, or something. I don't know exactly what it was but he was coerced into doing some things, and it went up on Twitter, and it didn't necessarily go viral, but probably in those circles it certainly was. It was shared around. It had hundreds of thousands of views. And he actually went to Twitter and said, I am underage, I was trafficked. And they were like, it didn't violate any of our policies, so we're not going to take it down. Did I sum it up fairly decently?
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, I want to start off by saying that I was introduced to John Doe's case in the summer. And I'll never forget that day because I was speaking to someone close with the case.
Yeah.
And I had to pull over. I think when you hear the numbers, you know, that child's sexual abuse was watched 160,000 times on Twitter.
It's disgusting.
You know, I've had a couple of videos go kind of viral on Twitter, and I have never reached 160,000 views.
Yeah.
John Doe found out that his abuse was going viral on Twitter because his classmates told him. John Doe was on the brink of suicide. John Doe provided Twitter photo identification to prove his identity. John Doe was still a minor. John Doe was still a minor when he reported. And when you read some of these transcripts back and forth between Twitter, you can't help but thank God that John Doe is still alive. John Doe was on the brink of suicide.
Yeah.
Now, what's the saddest part? And most sick part is that John Doe is not alone. He's the voice for countless children that have been sex trafficked on Big Tech and Twitter. The numbers are there. This is not a new conversation. So it has been something that has been on my heart very much. Jane Doe, John Doe's mother, is an absolutely incredible woman.
Yeah.
And I can say she will be taking on Twitter like none other.
Good.
And Jane Doe and I have had an opportunity to speak to multiple politicians because I was also sex trafficked on Twitter.
Wow.
And so I've always called John Doe my missing puzzle piece. I just have a special place in my heart for this kid.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we have an opportunity to speak in front of members of Congress together. Our stories have been heard by the House Senate.
Good.
And, you know, it was good, but it's not enough. And I know that John Doe deserves to get justice and that John Doe is not alone. My hope is that John Doe's story encourages survivors in the United States and around the world to step up and to speak and to tell their story if they are ready. And they could contact the National Center on Sexual Exploitation Law. That's the National Center on Sexual Exploitation Law if they want to talk to someone about their experience.
Yeah. What can the average person do? You know, I talk about it, you know, I've got you on my show, you know, but still, like, I'm sure there's more I can do. I don't want to clog up any lines, but I want to bring awareness to it. But, you know, what can the average person that wants to help do? You know, is there something that someone can do?
Sorry, Adam, this is my favorite question. I just think it's funny that my cats are going crazy. I had such an emotional day because of John Doe. We've been waiting for this story to come out for months. This is like a day I've been waiting for months. And I just, you know, I just want to thank everyone that shared this story, whether or not you have a big platform. It definitely means a lot to me. And I know somewhere it means a lot to John Doe. So I apologize. I've just been so emotional all day, which I'm never normally emotional in interviews. But man, this kid, he's so brave. It's like wild. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I had half the bravery of John Doe. It's wild. But I love the question.
So you said it though. Sharing stuff like this to let people know that it exists, you know, to be aware of it.
Yeah, so now my cats are fighting from underneath the door. This is unbelievable, Adam. You're never gonna have me on as a guest. Your next guest you're gonna have on is my cat.
Yeah.
Kinky, go
someone just said in the chat that Twitter paid your cats to fight.
Seriously, that sounds about right.
The cats were brought to you by Jack Dorsey.
I might have a little DM coming for Jack Dorsey later because I haven't hit him up in a while, and I want to see what he has to say about this about John Doe. I've been waiting. I've been sitting on that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, the best ways to get involved. I'm so sorry for all the distractions. The best ways to get involved are to find out your local organizations that are serving survivors. Research those organizations and volunteer your time, talent, or treasure. You know, the podcast space has been amazing and very welcoming to me. And I'm so appreciative of that because it's really helped to amplify the message at a time when we can all use sort of a bipartisan issue to all get behind. Human trafficking is a human rights violation every single time, as we know. Absolutely. And it is completely a bipartisan issue. So this is definitely something we can all rally behind. So you look for your local organization. If there isn't one in your area, think about starting one. Use your time, talent, and treasure. So if you have a special skill, use it for the movement. If you cut hair, call up your local survivor safe house. Ask if survivors or advocates need a free haircut. Or when they do a fundraising event, raffle off some haircuts as a fundraising event for your salon. If you are a carpenter, call your local safe house. See if they need help with something. If you have extra money, see what they need. It's winter time. You know, survivors need coats. You know, if you have an apartment complex, work with your local safe house. See if a survivor is ready to transition to long-term aftercare and see if you can give them an apartment for a year for free. These are all ways that you can get involved without spending too much time, without giving too much money. And then also getting educated. Oh, my gosh. These cats are all getting new cats.
That's all right. No, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned, you know, get to know your local, you know, safe place for these trafficked victims, you know, and even someone responded, they asked, you know, I'm up in Canada, I'm a trucker, you know, like, what can I do? And sure enough, there's a Canadian trucker, like, group specifically for that, and they were like, wow, and I'm gonna go become a part of it. So you'd be surprised, people out there, how many groups there are that may be local, but they're out there. You know, you just reach out and see what you can do to help them. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so I always let folks know, like, they don't need to come to me, they don't need to come to my Twitter page. They can enter the movement the exact same way that I did, which is by googling. I googled. That's what I did.
Future.
When I moved to a new area, I Googled where the organization was. And then after I volunteered for the organization, the local organization for a while, then they sent me to become a certified survivor advocate in two states. I always recommend that anyone that's getting prepared to work with survivors gets a background check and also becomes fully equipped to be a survivor advocate. That's something that we require here. Different states have different rules and different organizations have different rules. I will let you know that this is not an easy thing to jump into, and you could encounter some of the most terrifying, traumatizing things in your life. So there might be a different way that you can serve survivors without having direct contact with survivors.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, you could see how, listen, Adam, you could see how much John Doe's affected me, and I've known this story inside and out and the whole situation. I've walked with them the entire way. Basically, I'm not the entire way, but just about. It was when I stepped forward and started talking about my experience with being trafficked on Twitter that that I got in kind of collaboration with the John Doe. You can see, I mean, I'm crying today. I've been, I don't want to say a mess, but I've been kind of messy today because it's just so much pain involved in this situation that. So that's the toll that it does take on people. And that's why, if you don't think maybe you're ready for it, or if you just want to kind of dip your toes in the pond, there's a million ways. I always say, whatever your skill is, we need it. In 2020 and late 2020 and in 2021, I've asked folks in tech, clearly Twitter, YouTube, Facebook have, and Pornhub and the list goes on, have a child sexual abuse material problem. We need this child sexual abuse material taken off the internet. During the COVID-19 lockdowns, we've seen 126% increase in reported child sexual abuse material to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Those numbers were verified by the White House. So take what the numbers were in 2019 and up them by 126%. We're talking images and videos in the Billions. We're talking That's billions. Nuts. So we need tech to get involved, which is one of the reasons why I, you know, made a public statement towards Elon Musk and have done a lot of other wild things, just asking for help. We need help from tech.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me about that. I saw you were speaking at, I don't know what the event was, but you were talking about Elon. What's going on with Elon? Why Elon Musk?
That's a really good question. There's a couple reasons Elon Musk. Number one, he's not affiliated with the government. I can't sit around and wait for the government to take care of his problems, so I'm going to reach straight to the top. He's the richest man in the world. He's probably one of the most intelligent men in the world, debatably. And if he's not the most intelligent, he has access to the most intelligent. I need help with that artificial intelligence. We need that human-centered artificial intelligence, and he has all the capability in the world to help me. This problem that we're dealing with the child sexual abuse material and the human trafficking online is so wild and so big. I needed to go straight to the top. If Elon can't help me, at least I'll try to find someone else that can, but I will go straight to the top. And also, I need to find someone that big tech would fear. I need to find someone that when abusers and pedos and these traffickers hear the name Elon Musk is working on this problem, I want them to be like, dang, this is no joke. So yeah, I went straight to the top. As far as me speaking at the Tesla event, that was an event with Miles for Time. They're a car museum, and Tesla, they did the longest electric parade. We beat China by a long shot. And it was the longest electric car parade. And we raised money for our rescue. They serve survivors in the United States and around the world, predominantly children internationally. Yeah. They do an amazing job. Tim Ballard's like GOAT. And we raised $10,000 for them in the middle of a global pandemic. So once I saw the Tesla community rallying behind just me as a person and other survivors and really wanting to get involved, I sort of ran with it. And I also had a couple opportunities just with different journalists to sort of get the message out to Elon Musk because I had no real direct contact.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Elon Musk is, you know, he keeps coming out with things that he seems to have like a good heart as far as trying to help humanity. Like even today, he just tweeted out that he's going to give $100 million to the person who comes up with the best carbon. I don't remember exactly what the term is, but, you know, basically like some sort of carbon catch to help curb the amount of carbon that is being pushed into the air, which is cool. You know, it's clearly he sees that that's a problem. And clearly this is a problem with human society right now. Probably for all time, you know, and we're living in an era where, you know, the internet has become such a prominent part of things. And you mentioned actually there was a new law that I don't know if it was 2018, you said that basically is specifically for trafficked victims from being online, which is a great thing that these things are being put into place. I'll be honest, though, I am a little nervous at this whole new administration because it feels like they're trying to backtrack and change the way things are. You know, he did a statement yesterday about how children need to be able to understand that they can go into any bathroom if they feel, you know, and I'm not knocking the anyone who has, you know, whatever they feel their gender is, but the way that they're going about it, it feels like they're trying to normalize things that shouldn't be normalized. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to sum this up very, very neatly because it's a messy subject. And I think it coincides a lot with what we're talking about. You know, and it goes back to kind of, you know, the people that fall into it in the modeling industry promised to be, you know, a big star and, you know, promised big things so that they do things because they think it's going to help them get there when in reality, it's just them being manipulated. And that's the core of it. It's young kids being manipulated into things that they shouldn't be manipulated. And it's child abuse, and it's wrong on many levels. And I see a lot of it being an issue with the way this new movement is, because they don't understand the damage it's doing to you know, a young child's mind. And I fear for that. I fear for that.
Well, Adam, we don't know quite yet. Adam, we're only one day into the new administration, so let's give them some time.
True, of course.
As far as that, yeah, so as far as those things go, I'll say this. Mm-hmm. We've been adapting as a movement to pedophiles, traffickers, and predators for a very long time, and we will adapt to a move. We will adapt to, with the movement under this new administration. Whatever's thrown our way, whatever comes and goes, we will continue to adapt because the children and those that are being trafficked for labor and sex deserve it. So we will adapt. I've seen some things this year in 2020, I never thought I'd see. The use of deepfake technology to recreate sexual assault to be called Girls Do Porn. This case called Girls Do Porn, using deepfake technology to recreate sexual assault. I never thought I'd see this. This is a new form of tracking. So we adapt and we get smarter, but we have to have more passion and more fire than the traffickers and predators and pedophiles, all of them.
Wow.
We have more passion. That's it. We have to put more into it. So regardless of whatever happens during a Joe Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration, we will adapt. We've been adapting for years, and we will continue to do so.
Wow. So what's next for you?
I'm not waiting for the government, Adam. Adam, I'm not waiting for the government to handle this problem.
You mentioned that, and it makes sense.
So what is it? I mean.
Yeah. So what's next for you? You know, what's your goal near and far? Obviously, to end all trafficking would be the end game goal. But, you know, what's next for Eliza?
Well, John Doe's case is really important. It was the touchstone of everything that I plan on working on over the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Under no circumstances do I plan on John Doe's case falling on deaf ears. Many, many, many people read that story today, and John Doe is one amongst many. So what I plan on doing for the rest of the year is flying behind enemy lines and reminding Twitter every single day that they're refusing to remove the child sexual abuse material. In my personal life, I work with survivors full time as an advocate. I'm also working with the Epstein survivors, with Victims Refuse Silence. We have a new website coming out very, very soon. I just spoke to Teresa J. Helm. She's one of the public Epstein survivors today. We are very excited about this new website. And personally, I'm just going to keep giving interviews. You know, I have some other fun things planned as well, but we'll see. You know, this is still new to me. I'm, of course, building my Locals community. And Adam's on Locals as well.
I actually have your Locals right here just to pop it up to let everyone know. You can actually go help support Eliza. Go join her Locals community. It's very easy to get in touch with her. And even my Locals community, you can pop into mine, adamcastirl.locals.com. You can come join and communicate. I have a post right now, just like, what would you like me to ask Eliza while she's on the show? And you can help support her and ask her more directly as far as what you can do to help. Because if anyone's going to know, it's definitely her. This is her life's work. And it feels like you've taken, a hard thing that you've been through, and you know, you've forged yourself to be a weapon to fight against these people that are out there. And it's really good to see, you know, that you weren't defeated. And I respect that a lot in people. I feel like that's the true human spirit, is being able to go through the fire and come out stronger, so good for you.
Well, I don't know. We've never talked about this because we really haven't talked before tonight, just briefly on Twitter and, in Locals. Yeah. But, Jordan B. Peterson had a big hand in my journey and same with the IDW, just the intellectual dark web. Just once I started listening to podcasting actually had a big hand in my journey. Before I started paying attention to the podcast space, I was really sort of trapped in this victim mentality where I couldn't get over what happened. And I felt like everything was everybody else's fault. Once yep. I started listening to long form podcasts, it helped me reshift my focus. And I started taking a lot more personal responsibility. And that's when things got a lot better for me. So I wasn't always yes. kind of in the space that I am now. I was really like in this really, it actually was really sad. I was on the brink of suicide, to be honest. But by the grace of God, that didn't happen. And so it's been really amazing, but I owe a lot to the podcast space. And one other thing that I always let folks know, and I don't really get an opportunity to say this much in interviews, but when I'm triggered, and I hate that word triggered, but when I'm triggered or upset about something, I turn on a long form podcast and I think of it as changing the channel in my brain. So if I'm triggered, I'm obsessed with something, I'm thinking so much about the past, I turn on a long form podcast or a show like yours, and I can really refocus and reshift where my brain is at and think about yeah. what the folks in the podcast are talking about. So that's one thing that's been really, really helpful and healing for me along yeah. my journey. And I'm really grateful for that.
No, that's fantastic. And you mentioned Jordan Peterson. He actually was a very prominent figure in my life as well. I've had just kind of a growth period in mentally over the past 5 years of just learning, you know, what to do with my life, how can I have a purpose where I feel like I'm both fulfilling myself and helping others. And really, it is being accountable for your actions that is part of the issue. And Jordan Peterson talks about that a lot, and it's needed. And that's part of the issue of what's going on today, is there's a lot of people out there that just want to blame anyone else, everyone else. And the last thing that they want to do is look inward, when that is absolutely the very first thing everyone should do. And, you know, Jordan Peterson definitely is, you know, he's great at that and talking about really explaining it. I mean, he kind of goes in on many different things and always sums it up by the end. But once you really are able to understand the way that his mind works and what he's actually explaining, it really does help make that clear, you know, how important that is. Self-accountability, you know, taking what you do is really what makes the biggest difference, you know, in your life. So that's great. And what was the IDW, like International Dark Web? I don't know much about that, actually.
No, it's Intellectual Dark Web. So that would be Joe Rogan, Jordan B. Peterson, Sam Harris, Dave Rubin, local.
Okay.
Dave Rubin, Brett Weinstein, Eric Weinstein, and a couple other folks, Christina Hoff Summers, a lot of other folks. But I don't know. Ben Shapiro was a part of it. I think it's kind of a disbanded thing now. That was a couple years ago. But they really introduced me to the podcast space. It was really fun to learn from, you know, diverse viewpoints. And I really enjoyed that. And it really helped to shape and mold me to be the woman that I am today. So I'm really, really grateful for podcasts. And actually, in return, now the same podcast space that was sort of born out of that movement has now embraced me. And I'm so grateful. And honestly, Adam, like, thank you to you for just boosting my signal a lot. And thank you so much for because your fans are very loyal, Adam. and they're very, very receptive to me. And I really appreciate, I shouldn't say fans. I hate the word fan. Followers or observers. I like the word observer. But your observers have been very kind to me. You've been very kind to me. And I appreciate it so much, because every single time someone retweets anything like the human trafficking hotline or information about trafficking, we get the word out there and we stop promoting myths and start promoting facts.
Yep. Well, it's my pleasure. I see this as a very pressing, important issue. I actually have never said this to anyone else publicly before, but I was almost a victim myself. When I was 5 or 6, I think I was 6 years old. My bus driver, it was a newer school, and this bus driver was trying to get me to go to Six Flags with him. And I told my stepmom, like, you know, this is like, this guy wants me to go to Six Flags with him. And she's like, what? Like, that's weird. Turns out he was a convicted child offender or, you know, a sex offender in a different state, and he lied on his application. So this was actually like this dude trying to, you know, pull me in into the system, you know, and it, you know, I don't think about that often, but, you know, how often does that happen to people? And it, you know, it almost happened to me. And I was grateful that I had someone that was, you know, called the police. The dude got fired and arrested, and hopefully no one else, you know, never hurt another person. But, you know, it's just, so this is something that, you know, I, you know, it's near and dear to me because I want to help everyone that I can. And, you know, I see that in you, and, you know, I'm very drawn to people that are trying to help others. So it's, you know, it's my pleasure, you know, to, you know, help you and boost your message, because I know how important it is. So
thank you. And yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I'm really grateful that nothing happened. And, you know, I think a lot of times when men are abused, men and boys are abused, it's very difficult to speak out. And, you know, just from you being in the modeling industry, those types of things happen very frequently. And I know that this conversation today will probably affect some folks in a different way if you've experienced past or recent trauma. And I want you to know that no matter where you're at, if you've experienced past or recent trauma, you can reach out to one of the hotlines. You can reach out to the sexual assault hotline. Even if you've experienced incest from a very long time ago, you can reach out to the domestic violence hotline or the human trafficking hotline. All of these hotlines work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They have 200 plus languages available, and they will assess your needs if you've been affected by this. By this topic today, they will assess your needs and help connect you with resources in your area. And you'll speak to an advocate just like me. So please, if this conversation's affected you in any way, please reach out for help. There are a lot of folks out there that care and love, care about you and love you very much.
I agree with that. I'm just going to pop up your locals page again. It's eliza.locals.com. Okay. Please go join your community, you know, and especially if you need, if you're looking for help, you know, if you're looking for someone just like her, because she herself, you know, found somebody online and that helped her, you know, pull her out of her situation. So if you need help, reach out to, you know, the hotlines are there. There's places that exist that are there for you to be there for you. And, you know, they reached out to you right away. You said you emailed them and they were right there for you, right?
Well, I'm not going to lie. The calls to human trafficking hotline have been up 40% in the last year. So it is more difficult. But when you reach out to an organization, you have to be very aggressive in your own healing as a survivor. Always let survivors know that you have to be very aggressive in your own healing. But it's worth it. Trust me, it's so worth it. And I always let survivors know that that moment that I was sending that email to that organization, I felt like I was so weak. I mean, you want to talk about hopeless, Adam. I was like the walking dead. I was legit the walking dead. I had been dead for a very long time. And yeah. in my soul, my spirit was dead. You know what I mean? I was alive, but I was very dead. And I felt like I'd never have anything to offer the world. And I didn't realize that like sending that email was the strongest moment I ever had in my whole life. So if you're in need, please reach out. Even if it's just to a friend, always, you know, of course, there's professionals there as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Because you said it, this is not a partisan issue. This is not political. This is human rights. You know, everyone has the right to be free, you know, and not be manipulated and trafficked and raped. And, you know, any of the things that are involved in being a slave to someone else, you know, no one should be that way, you know, not now, not ever. And, you know, thank you, because it's people like you being out there, being so outspoken about it. I hesitate on the word aggressively because it doesn't sum it up right, but you're strongly advocating for it. And that's what we need. We can't just be like, oh, it exists. So, you know, that sucks. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, you know, and then it's one other thing to talk about it, but then it's another thing to, I mean, you're quite vicious on Twitter, against Twitter, on Twitter. You know, it's you don't hold your punches at all, and that's good. It's someone needs to do it, you know. So, you know, I commend you for that.
I mean, I could care, honestly, I could care less what Twitter thinks about me. My reputation is much better than theirs at this point. They're disgusting. They're disgusting. We've had multiple meetings. I've sat in meetings and talked to them the exact same way that I'm talking to them, talking to you now. Yeah. I've had many meetings with them. I mean, they offered to hire me and put me on trust and safety. And I said, no, because I don't want money that was made off of child sexual abuse material. No. So, yeah, I'm vicious on there. I definitely make sure I don't violate terms of service. I'm surprised that I still have a Twitter account, and I'm going to write it till the wheels come off.
Me too.
But if for some reason something happens, right, I'm going to be on there till the wheels come off. And I said today, I don't care if I'm the last profile standing. I will be there to remind them that they profit daily off of child sexual abuse material, which is disgusting. I cannot believe that we are continuously letting this slide. And yeah, I'm vicious. You know why I'm vicious, Adam? There's a couple of reasons why I'm vicious. I'm not vicious. Like, I am aggressive. It's a couple reasons. Number one, I'm grateful for my own life. And number two, that was what advocates and activists were doing for me when I was out there being sold. They were doing it before I even had an opportunity to be free. So the least I can do is give back a gift that I was freely given, Adam.
You're carrying that torch along.
Yeah. Yep,
we need more people like you.
I'm not a saint.
That's okay. We're human beings, you know. None of us are. You know, but it's choosing to you know, pick up a torch, even if it's you know, someone has to do it, you know. It's a blessing.
Adam,
and
it's not someone,
you know.
Adam, it's not someone has to do it. We all have to do it. It's
good point.
Someone. We can't wait. We can't sit around and wait for Eliza Blue to do it. Because what if I lose my Twitter account? We all have to do it all the time. I'm not saying you have to turn your Twitter account into my Twitter account. I'm just saying, stay on it. Stay on it.
Well, I'm doing what I can for sure.
Thanks.
All right, let's. Of course. Let's. Got a lot of super chats. To get into. Let's get into them. Daniel says, I've heard you talking about alternative energy. One that is ignored is filter cake. It's the byproduct of activated sludge sewage treatment. Combine that with Tesla battery tech and boom, unlimited fuel. I don't know about that, but interesting. I'll check that out. Minion says, true and pressure. Also, the name is Minion. I've been mispronouncing this name for many, many weeks now. Thank you, Minion. I now know how to say your name. DJ Zeno says, we need a dating website for conservatives and centrists, or just go into real world, because that's where most conservatives are, you know, I think. I'm D-Bowl God. I'm a stepfather of a 14-year-old girl. What should I look out for to try to keep her safe? I know what I think I should look into, but I'd like to hear your opinions on it. What would you say, Eliza?
Yeah, so actually the United States government has the Blue Campaign. The Blue Campaign has some great materials for parents out there. Also, the Human Trafficking Hotline website also has some great material for parents out there. The number one thing that you should look for as a parent is be more active on your children's social media than they are. I mean, it's going to sound horrible, but you got to spy a little bit. You got to be very active in your children's life. I say talk to your children, meet your children where they're at, and speak to them in a way that they will understand, but keep it all the way real with them. This includes children with special needs. Children with special needs are at a higher risk and children that are on the spectrum are at a higher risk to be trafficked because they cannot put words to the experience that's happened to them. So make sure you speak to your kids very, very regularly and stay very active in your children's life, especially their online life. And if you think your children's not smart enough to use, you know, some type of weird, like incognito VPN, you're crazy. They know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. It's kind of where I was going with. It is imperative that you are part of your kids' lives. You don't have to be best friends, but be their parent, you know, be close to what they're doing, understand what they're doing, talk about things that you think that they should know about, be open and honest with them. Kids know, like I taught young kids for skateboarding for a long time. They knew, and I've got 40 8 cousins. Like, I've got a massive family. So I've always been around young kids, and they can tell when an adult is talking to them like a child. But when you talk to them like a human being, they instantly connect with you because they're like, this person's talking to me like me. Like I'm a person deserving to be spoken to, not like a little child. So speak to them as if you're speaking to someone, you know, like a peer of yours, you know. So don't treat them like a child. Treat them with the respect that you would want treated unto you, you know. So I think that's part of it, you know. Connecting with them is about understanding how to talk to them. So, you know, your 14-year-old daughter, stepfather or not, you know, she's your daughter, you know, talk to her, you know, be honest with her. That is the most important thing, is being honest, because as soon as you're not honest, that gives them the window to not be honest with you. I think it's a two-way street. You got to be honest. So that's my advice.
I always let folks know too, to have another safe adult around that a child trusts. A safe adult could be somebody, you know, in a faith-based organization, or, you know, somebody that you trust, that your children also trust in case something goes down. But I always let parents know, it's better that they talk to them in advance, because by the time I meet your child, it's too late. By the time I meet your child, we're meeting in an emergency room after a sexual assault or human trafficking situation. You don't want your children to meet me. If we meet somewhere else along our journey, that would be great. But by the time your child meets an advocate, it's too late. Unless we're coming to speak at the school or something, you know, to give an awareness, or coming to speak at your faith-based group or something like that. You don't want your children to meet me.
Yeah. Good point. Mini Stabber says, Twitter enabled child porn to be circulated, ignoring the victims, saying it does not break their policy. Yeah, this was actually before we had the conversation about Twitter, but it is true. Yep. Mark G says, look into UK Rochdale grooming gangs. Sargon has some videos on it. The lack of law enforcement crackdown on this type of crime is maddening. I don't know much about it, but I can imagine just from the name of the gang that would be sickening. DJ Cogdill says, do deep dives on Jean-Luc Brenel and Peter Nygaard. It's Epstein level 6 stuff, but people need to know what is going on in the world. You know, they've got a point, and this just makes me think of something. When are you going to start a podcast? Because, and I'm not saying that you turn your Twitter account into a podcast, because I'm sure you have other things that you could talk about, but having a platform yourself, because you clearly are knowledgeable about all this stuff, and like talking about Peter Nygaard, and like how talking about, you know, maybe giving other people a platform to, you know, talk to you will give other people help seeing how, you know, victims speak. You said let the victims speak. You know, that could almost be the name of your podcast, honestly. You know what I mean? When's it coming?
We've discussed this at length. You know, back to that case, we were watching that case. That case was very unique, and we had been pushing for a long time for that to go down. France has a longer statute of limitation, so that was okay. There was more of a loophole there. Yeah, there was more of an awesome loophole there. When that happened, that was a great day. I think we're going to see a lot more folks fall. I think it's very important to pay attention to these elites that are falling down, but it's also important to know what's going on in your backyard. I let folks know, Google your hometown or the closest city, and see, Google human trafficking, and then, you know, your hometown or the city that you're close by, see what pops up. You will be amazed. You will be amazed. So back to the podcast question. I am strongly thinking about it, Adam.
Should.
That would be, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm a new public survivor leader, but one of the, should I tell you what the idea is, and then you can tell me if it's trash?
Tell me. Yeah, definitely.
Well, actually, I know the idea is not trash, so let me just tell you what the idea is.
I probably wouldn't think it's trash either.
Or you might try to say it nicer than, yeah, that idea is trash. So one thing that we are talking about in 2021 is starting a podcast where I interview survivors and abusers as well, convicted abusers as well.
I don't think that's trash. Oh. What just happened? I just lost her. Well, I don't know what happened to Eliza. Maybe her cats cut the line. I think she's back. There, you're back. Let me guess. It was the cats.
Adam.
Did the cats do it?
Actually, I don't think the cats had anything to do with it that time. I just lost you. I gave you my bomb idea, and then all of a sudden it just went like, I was like, you're like, I don't think it's bad. And then it just went dark. I was like, dang. Okay. Yeah. Like, so
did she not believe me?
No, I wouldn't leave you, Adam. How could I leave Critter hanging? I couldn't leave Critter hanging.
Is that what you called me? Critter?
Critter, Krigler, Kriegler, Krigler, Cracker, Krieg, Creeper. We've called you everything.
Creeper? What?
Listen, this is just me and my best friend. Don't take it personal. If we're not calling you names, that means we don't like you. But
Okay.
But no, so I want to do a podcast where I interview survivors and abusers as well, and in an effort to not to give them a platform, but in an effort to meet them where they're at, convicted pedophiles and traffickers, meet them where they're at and just try to dissect what brought them to the space in their life where they wanted to traffic or abuse children. I think when we stop acting like it's not a problem. And I feel like the fact that, so I very much believe in Carl Jung's, the shadow, kind of like confronting your own shadow. Carl Jung has this big thing about confronting your own shadow. I think that when we confront that evil part of humanity, I think that we will make more progress because potentially we could identify some things that would make it so that we can figure it out before it starts. What led someone to become a human trafficker? Like, I would love to sit down with high profile abusers. I'm not afraid to do it. Actually, I think it would be very fun for me personally just to sort of have that conversation. Absolutely. I actually, to be brutally honest, I would sit down and interview my own abusers if they were in prison.
Right. I think you're onto something because it's almost as if people don't want to acknowledge any of this stuff when it is very much a part of life right now that we have to confront. So I think you're onto something. And, you know, if you are strong enough to be able to do that, props. First and foremost, because that takes a lot of for you to say and confirm it that it would be fun for you, because it's becoming something you're starting to understand how much it's important to understand the psychological side of what makes someone like that do stuff like that, because then we can understand why someone gets to that point. That's a good point. That's something that we need. Well, I'm all for your. It was not a trash idea. That was a bomb idea. And, you know, I think you absolutely needed to do it. I think you needed to do it yesterday. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think with all my extra time and my extra money, Adam, okay. But, I think what will actually be more difficult is interviewing the survivors that I'm close to. I think that will be very difficult on me just because we're close. And I see them as such amazing human beings. And to think of my people that I'm close with going through those experiences will be difficult. It will be because I'm not their advocate. So when, you know, my friends that are survivors, I'm not their advocate. So I think it would be, it would still be, I think I can do it. And as far as interviewing, predators in that way, or convicted folks that have been convicted of these crimes, I think I file it in my head a little differently. And unlike most, I don't necessarily see myself as better or worse as them. I just see that I made different decisions, and that if maybe my DNA had been different, or, you know, if my circumstances had been different, I don't necessarily put myself above or below them. You know, I'm a survivor. Yeah. That's my story. But I would like to get to know their story as well, so that maybe we can prevent it from happening again.
That's awesome. And if you're thinking about, if you're out there and you're thinking about, you know, telling your story, and just remember that you give power to others that are in that situation to help them get through it as well. So,
well, I let folks know that if they're thinking about sharing their story publicly, just to have a trained survivor advocate or to at least have the hotline number there if they get triggered. It's not all that glitters is gold. You know, you could spend a day on my Twitter profile. People come at me sideways. It's whatever, you know, whatever group wants to come at me that day. So it's not, it's not necessarily the most fun thing. And I would definitely recommend having a good, strong survivor advocate or a connection with a local resource before you decide to go public. It can also be a very dangerous time as well.
Yeah. Well, you said it. Ivy Rippenham says, "No jokes today. This woman is amazing, point blank." Wow, that is the first time Ivy Rippenham didn't do a joke. He always is joking around. He's right. You are an amazing woman.
Thank you. Is Ivy Rippenham like means like farts?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's actually his name. And every single super chats me all the time. A great follower of mine. Constantly making some fun, you know, jokes about ripping him up. So it's I got to just say that's for him not to make a joke on this episode. Obviously, this is a more heavy episode, you know, talking about something very serious. But that means a lot. So just letting you know.
Well, much respect. So, I'd be ripping him. I would be ripping him a chunk out of my eyebrow a couple weeks ago. And I almost, when I was waxing my eyebrow, I would be ripping him a chunk out of my eyebrow. And my eyebrows almost went back to like the early 90s with the way that they were looking. So I'd be ripping my eyebrows off. That's the only thing I'd be ripping around here.
All right. Mike Hunt says, "It's time to start turning our flags upside down, everyone." Well, thank you for that hefty super chat, Mike. I appreciate that. And yeah, a lot of people believe it's time for that. John L. says, "Eliza, teachers are required to take the mandated reporter training. But to be honest, the training is a joke. What signs should I look for if any of my students are being harmed?" This is a teacher in New York State.
That's a good question. Yeah, mandated reporters are really important. We count on our healthcare professionals and teachers to keep an eye on our youth. I look for changes in behavior, drastic changes in behavior. Children that look tired in the day that normally wouldn't. Of course, bruising. If a child's dressed like me in the middle of the summer, that could be a good indicator, just because they could be covering up for something else. A big change in behavior, a big change in a child taking care of themselves. If a child was taking care of themselves, they may stop eating, they may start overeating, or they may start dressing differently to avoid being abused. Also, some of the things that I look for, depending, is if a child pops up with a new thing that is definitely out of their price range. If they pop up, if they're a seventh grader and they have a Gucci bag that out of nowhere, that seems a little suspicious. Why does a seventh grader have a new phone and a Gucci bag? So these are all things, Romeo pimps, definitely look out for Romeo pimps, especially with the youth. And then if the children are talking about sending images online or anything of that nature to a stranger, those are always huge red flags. And
what's Romeo pimps? What is that? I don't know what that is.
A Romeo pimp would be like someone that pretends to be the perfect boyfriend and is actually grooming you for an exploitation situation.
Okay. Oh, all right. Romeo pimp. All right. Now I get it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. No. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was a Gabe good question.
Yeah, it was. Gabe says, "Just got banned from Twitter for telling Seth Rogen that he's smoked himself retarded." Well, I mean, that word is it triggers a lot of people. Words are break bones nowadays, so you got
to
be
right. They could ban that, but then John Doe had to beg to get his child sexual abuse material taken down.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and don't forget that they wrote John Doe back and said that it didn't violate their terms of service after review. John Doe was still a minor when he was reporting.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, and Twitter said, "It doesn't violate our terms of service, but that does," to get Gabe banned off Twitter. That's the world we live in. And yet, I even saw someone tweet out today, "Well, I'm a libertarian, so I actually support the a private platform being able to ban whatever they see fit." What? So, but do you understand? Go ahead. What do you got?
So there is an argument there, and I understand the argument quite well, but we always draw the line at human rights violations, especially against children.
Thank
you. So no matter any libertarian, you can come at me. Let me tell you, I've done podcasts with anarchists, like real, like, like the strong no government, not the anarchists, like, you know what I mean? Not the way it's being painted by whatever. But like, I mean, I've done a podcast. I've had conversations with people all across the aisle, All sides can agree, including libertarians. We always have to draw the line at human rights violations every single time. No, it's non-negotiable, especially with children. Are you kidding me? Yeah, no, Twitter does not get the Twitter by under U.S. law does not get the right to do that. No.
Yeah, I agree. This is Josh and Jesus said, my question is too long, so I'm putting it in locals, and I'm looking at locals, and it is it's a couple paragraphs. So I'll read it so that I can paraphrase it. But here's another one from my locals. This is Rockusk says, are there any common tells which could identify someone as being victim of trafficking who otherwise not outwardly seems so? I feel like you kind of summed it up. I was just going to say, I feel like you summed it up fairly well, talking about John, who's a teacher, you know, and you kind of said, you know, if they suddenly are looking very tired when they're normally not very tired, you know, that. But you know what? Please give your answer. I'm sure you have something a little more on point.
There are sometimes some symptoms that, you know, that you could tell if somebody has had no trips to see a medical professional in a very long time, but yet somebody's always with them, always in control. They're paying everything with large amounts of cash. If they seem to have a controller of some sort, this controller could also be a female. Don't forget, females traffic as well. So, and this is something that I've seen happen quite a bit more in the recent times, is that there are female abusers as well. So we can always have to remember. And don't forget either that when we think about human trafficking, it could be somebody working at a nail shop that's working 12 hours a day and not getting any of the pay. It could be somebody that's doing lawn care. So it really could look any type of way. It's a really difficult thing to decide. And my best suggestion is, if you think somebody is a victim of human trafficking, see if you can get them alone and just say, hey, is everything okay? Yeah. If someone needs or wants help, then they'll ask. That's if it's an adult. If you think that there's a child that's being abused, you always have to call the authorities and or the human trafficking hotline.
Yeah, yeah. So Josh and Jesus, he basically is saying, I just quickly, so to paraphrase this, all right, is it better to allow Twitter to operate the way that they are so that these people can be caught? Essentially, that's what they're saying. Because as soon as they get kicked off, wouldn't it make it harder for these people to be found? I see what he's trying to say, you know, because something about Backpage, I don't know what that is. When they banned Backpage, what is Backpage? I'm sure you're familiar with it. What is that?
Backpage was a website that went down because of their child sexual abuse material and human trafficking problem. I don't want to mischaracterize it, but it was basically a cesspool for that type of behavior. But on the flip side, before I get dragged, there were willing adult sex workers that were using Backpage as well. They took that down. Yeah, there were willing adult sex workers on there as well. And there was also child sexual abuse, there was human trafficking, there was all types of things going on there, all nefarious things. Backpage was not a good seed. And they got torn down as a result. So that's a really, really, really good question. And these are the types of questions that keep me up at night, if you want to know the truth. You get down to, and these are the discussions that I have with some of my colleagues. If they remove it all in one fellow swoop, how many children are going to die as a result? Because when you are being trafficked, you are not seen as human. You are seen as a product, much like illicit guns or drugs or oil. So you're not seen necessarily as a human. And once you stop making the trafficker or pimp money or bringing them pleasure, in the case of a pedophile, you are disposable. You are a disposable product. I liken it to my toothbrush head. I would throw it away. I would throw away my toothbrush head on my electric toothbrushes. How quickly they will throw away these victims. The United Nations calls this the hidden figures of crimes. And they stated that only 0.04% of victims of human trafficking are ever identified. So when you do a big sweep, like what I think was probably what will probably end up happening with Twitter, I think about the lives that will be lost as a result. It's very real. That's very real. That's the type of stuff that keeps me up at night.
Wow.
0.04. Yeah, 0.04. With the technology that is available right now, so what Twitter could do, so Twitter does currently use some of the technology that's available. Let me back up. So I know I drag Twitter all day long. Let's keep it factual. Twitter does use some of the technology that's currently available. They do a transparency report once a year, even in their most current transparency report on Twitter. They talked about how many child sexual abuse material profiles they reported. I think it was like 111,000, or something in that vein. And they report that to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. What they should be doing is working in cahoots with multiple departments to identify these victims, and use facial recognition technology. That's why I've been so adamant about the use of artificial intelligence. The proper use of artificial intelligence would help this process. It would make it so that less fewer eyes have to see the material, and that they could send it off to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They're already using some artificial intelligence. It's just not thorough and aggressive enough. So that's where my pleas to Elon Musk have come in. But yes, that is a valid concern. And those are the types of questions that keep me up at night.
Yep, it's a tough one for sure. Jay Rico says, thanks for bringing light to this. This is something many educators worry about, especially with the lockdowns. It's my pleasure. Mm-hmm. Alpha Zero Omega says, many people who are in need don't know how bad a situation they are in or know how to access people that can help them. Keep up the great work, Eliza.
Thank you.
Definitely. Baron Voodoo says, to be honest, the native reservations have a lot of trafficking that no one talks about also. Yeah. It's a good point. Yep, they do.
Yeah, actually this year, there were some laws that were changed, Savannah's Act and some other things. The indigenous populations here and around the world are at a much greater risk for being trafficked. The missing and murdered indigenous women's population is very high. There are folks that work directly on this issue. This year, we launched in the United States. I think it's called Strong Hearts DV. Strong Hearts DV is a hotline specifically for Indigenous survivors in the United States to call. So that's a great resource. They are directly, that is exactly what they do. They serve Indigenous survivors. I think it's incredible that we have that resource here in America.
Wow. Awesome. These resources, they're out there. Walter, thank you very much for becoming a member. I appreciate you. Turk Longwell says, Eliza, trying to your mess out while your cats are in the middle of territory battle. The look on her face, oh my gosh, these dang cats. That was a pretty fun moment, you got to be honest. It's a tough subject. You know, this is a tough subject, and they gave us a little comedic relief.
Adam, so what's funny is, Adam, is that number one, my cats are always a point of contention for me. But they're always a point of contention because I have quite a few, but I also live on a farm. But the other funny thing is, Adam, like, generally speaking, my normal personality, I'm kind of a clown. Like, I just kind of like joke around a lot, and I find a lot of humor and beauty in life. But they're always talking about this very serious topic. So it is kind of good. I just wish that the cats had just chilled out. But what you didn't see is that one of the cats bit my foot with like a full jaw while we were on.
Oh, seriously?
Because he was trying to get to the other cat.
And you were in his way. Oh, cats.
Good. Adam,
is your foot okay?
Listen, Wonder's suing the heck out of Twitter. I could care less about my foot today. All I care about is the conversations going on at Twitter. They're throwing plates against the wall. They're doing whatever. They've finally been caught once again for repeatedly not removing child sexual abuse material. So to be brutally honest, I could care less about my foot today. But what was I going to say? I think it bled a little bit, but it's all good. I haven't looked at it yet.
All right, I hope it's fine.
Yeah, I did a little. We're good. I'll be all right. I'll survive, Adam.
Mark G says, what type of punishment should traffickers face? They are killing the soul of a person, so I'd expect similar punishment to murder. You kind of took a dark path there, but it is an interesting question as far as like what a punishment they should face. What do you think?
Well, first and foremost, I just kind of like to pick apart that statement a little bit. Killing the soul of a person. By no means do I think that my soul has been killed. If anything else, being trafficked has made me into the woman that I am today.
Yeah. Well, I think being a little bit too strong on that. I definitely agree with that, because here I'm talking to this, a powerful human being in front of me that, you know, clearly has a strong soul about it.
I will say that there are other survivors that experience abuse one time, like one single abuse, an isolated incident, and it literally fractures their mental state so that they no longer live with the same realities that we do, Adam. I still, of course, I love them. I love people no matter where they are. So each survivor reacts to their abuse differently, but I think it's a little disingenuous to characterize all survivors with the same way. Also, not all abusers are the same. I think that abusers deserve human rights as well. I believe that they should be studied. Obviously, I kind of stated something similar before. I truly believe that we should be studying abusers, pedophiles, pimps, traffickers, so that we could possibly get into these situations before they start. If we find out the low income is something that's a common thread, if it's a single parent home, if it's mental health issues, if it's, rural areas, whatever it is, that we can start finding these common threads, if we can stop it before it starts, will be the only way, is if we start to study these abusers and figure out what they're going to do before they do it.
So you still didn't answer the question, though. You know, it's, I agree with you. They should be studied and to try to understand what leads to that. But the first question is, what type of punishment should they face? And you said it yourself, there's different types, just prison. Okay. And
Listen, I don't want to sit around I work really hard for my money. I want to pay taxes so that these pimps and pedophiles can eat and watch TV or watch Ellen or whatever they do all day in prison. I don't want to pay for that with my money. But at the end of the day, humans deserve human rights. It is what it is. Humans deserve human rights. So while they're locked up, they need to be studied. That's how I feel. They need prison. Okay.
Legit. Mark Robershaw says, so the government is hell-bent on hunting down white supremacists and those who protest the election, but human trafficking is bigger than ever. Someone tells me, what's the point of government? FML. Yeah. It's pretty insane where they're... focus lies. Mark again has a bunch of super chats here. It says Elon is the last great hope. He's making some great moves, isn't he? Hollywood needs to burn. They are just as bad. Yeah, big Hollywood, man. Big government is slow AF. Red tape on red tape. Yep. Praise the Elon, smell the Musk. Mark Robershaw, you're ridiculous. The only monsters are the ones that look human. Well, I mean, I think we look human. Me and Eliza here. I don't believe we're monsters. So
I mean, you have long hair. I have like no hair.
Well, what does hair length have to do with anything? You know, I feel like people who resort to what someone looks like, it happens a lot. Ad hominem. You know, it's like it's not the point. It takes away from the conversation. You know, whenever someone does that, you know, it's like, who cares? You know, anyone could look like anyone, and any person can have a good solid character on the inside and anyone, no matter what they look like, could be could have an evil core, you know, and that goes for everyone, you know, everyone's capable of that. Extort says,
Adam,
go ahead. What's up?
Adam's like, oh, who cares? Who cares what anybody looks like? Says the man with a big modeling career. Okay. Listen,
well, just because I made a career out of it. Hold on. I did not want to model. All right. I did not want to do that. Okay. I had zero interest in doing it. I just happened to fall in love with the girl that I was dating at the time, who was begging for me to do it because her mom worked for a model search company. Okay. And I was like, no, for months on end, I was like, no, I didn't want to do it. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. So finally I fell in love with her and I was like catering to her and I was like, all right, I'll do it. And then of course, you know, it happened to go very well. And I happened to book up a bunch of jobs that paid very well. And I was like, well, I guess, you know, I could do this. And then, you know, the rest is history now. So just for the record, I didn't want to do it. All right.
Thanks for lowering yourself and talking to the plebs. I appreciate you lowering yourself and talking to the plebs.
Oh, stop it. No, I believe that no one should be put on a pedestal. All right. Everyone's on the same level.
I'm the ugliest one in the room.
Gosh, we're not in the same room. All right. You're in your room. I'm in my room. And I don't know what your cats look like. So
you don't want to. They're vicious.
No.
They're vicious.
They're in the corner just like sharpening their nails, just waiting. Wait till you're done with that podcast, Eliza. Shing, shing.
Adam, they waited till I was on the podcast. No, they waited till right till the second we went live and decided to turn all the way up and have a world war in this house and then a full MMA match and bite my foot.
Well,
these cats.
They broke up the podcast nicely. Mr. Laxative says, first off, I would like to say I totally applied what you're doing, but would like to ask, how badly are men being trafficked? That's an interesting question. How bad are men being trafficked? You know, is it, you know, what is the statistic there?
Are you talking about, that'd be kind of a nuanced question. It would depend on if they mean labor or sex.
That's a good point.
In the United States, roughly we're seeing around a 20th percentile, maybe a little higher. Some organizations are reporting a 20th percentile of their clients or the survivors being boys and men. But honestly, I don't know what the international statistic would be for boys and men, and I also don't know where labor trafficking sits in there either. I have to admit, I'm not necessarily the most versed to talk about labor trafficking. I have seen some data and statistics that show us that labor trafficking is higher than sex trafficking. And actually, I tend to believe that statistic. And if that is the case, then it would be predominantly men.
Makes sense. The R Heretic says, Adam is right. Go ahead.
That would be internationally, though, not in the United States.
Okay. Adam is right. Under the current administration of Pedo Joe and his pedo family, raising public awareness of this issue more than ever. I mean, the Hunter laptop thing has some disgusting things on there that the mainstream media just doesn't want to talk about. But I am haunted because I happen to see some of the images on there and it's disgusting. And I can't believe, you know, and then Joe himself is like another conversation. So we don't need to get into that. Hydra says, would you be willing to talk to someone I truly owe a lot to? And maybe he can help you too. His name is Jesse Lee Peterson. He's on YouTube. You can call him. I know of Jesse Lee Peterson. I'm assuming you know Jesse Lee Peterson, right? Or do you?
No.
No, he's just a very outspoken guy. He's very spicy, and I don't know. There's a meme that you might see of him just saying beta. It just like goes really close to his face, and he goes beta. I don't even think he's actually saying beta, but he's a very spicy podcaster. You may
I like spice. I like spice. Tell him to holler at your girl.
Yeah. All right. Right on. Yeah. Hydro, go to her locals page and see if you can link them up. That'd be cool. And go to my locals page and see if you can link us up too. That'd be great. Oh no, that's our hair tech. Wait, who actually said that? Yeah, Hydro said that. The our hair tech again says, not sure if my last message was blocked or not. I did see it. I just read it. But under our current pedo rulers, this issue is far more important than ever. I'm going to read that anyway because I agree with it. Mega Executioner says, keep flag right side up, do volunteering and many good acts with it. When arrested people will remember your works, demystifying the narrative in their minds. I like my flag the way it flies, and that is normal. John Powell says, glad I didn't miss the show. Had a psych class. They're literally doing gender fluidity first topic of term. What even hashtag indoctrination education? Yeah, it's gender fluid for psych class. They're trying to, you know, it's interesting because women are getting the brunt of that attack. You know, Biden on his first day made it so that transgender women can compete against regular women. What's the PC way of
biological.
Saying it?
I'm sure. Biological.
Is that it? Oh, thank you. A biological woman, which I even have trans women friends that I know that disagree with that. They're like, no, I'm stronger than, you know, the average woman. Like, that's not fair. So that's a whole nother conversation, I guess. Mark Robershaw says, sometimes it's not a hero or a saint we need. It's a monster or a sinner to open our eyes. Yeah, okay. And understanding why those monsters and sinners become those monsters and sinners, which is why you doing a podcast makes a lot of sense. Because I think you're onto something. It's understanding, talking to them, seeing what led them to that, you know? I think you should definitely get on that. Wimplo says, your positive attitude is infectious. I love it. Praise the sun. Thank you. And I'm not sure who you're talking to because, you know, through all the things that you've been through and all the stuff that you talk about, you do have a positive demeanor. You are a very optimistic person. And I think that's really important nowadays more than ever. Yeah. So good on you.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Adam. But there's a couple things I have some awesome friends. I have some awesome people that support me. My family is incredible. And I also believe in God. So that's the truth. I just, it was like kind of hard to, and I'm also so grateful, Adam. Like literally, I know it's going to sound crazy, but sometimes I'll just be reading statistics or I'll be like writing a report or something for work. And it'll occur to me that I'm one of the lucky ones that got out. And, it makes me so emotional. I'm so grateful. So that I think is where some of the positivity comes from, and definitely a lot of love. A lot of love just because I've seen how amazing humanity truly can be. I've seen how many people care about these vulnerable folks that are being trafficked. You know, men like yourself that are willing to stand up and speak about something so heartbreaking. And, it moves me in a way that I can't help but be pretty positive and grateful. That's truth.
Awesome. And I hear that. Someone asked me a couple of weeks back, you know, how do you stay so optimistic through, you know, this negativity? And my answer was very similar to yours. I'm grateful. I know what I have. I recognize that I have all these amazing things that I simply woke up again, that I'm still alive is something to be grateful for. That is lost. People don't even recognize that anymore. And that's a shame. So, you know, it's something to be said about remaining optimistic. So that's awesome.
I'm not really saying that I don't strive for, sorry.
No, please. I was just going to read the next super chat. I want you to get your thought out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not really saying I don't strive for more, but there are some days where I'm just grateful that I have a bed and cats and food and hot water. And if I lost those things, I would probably try to find something else to be grateful about, because there were a lot of days in that period where, like I said, I was basically dead. So I'm just grateful that I'm not.
Yeah, me too.
I thought my cat Boots was going to come in the frame, but he's not.
No, he was like, I only came here to fight that other one. Rod's All Things China says, Adam, I know you are some type of friend of Tom. Okay, of Tim, but this guy on the eve of the first day of corrupt puppet prez was screaming about Donald's alleged corruption. And then you say some other stuff I'm not going to say because I am his friend still, and I don't watch his stuff anymore. So I don't really know a lot of, you know what, I got to be honest. Just a general statement to the people that follow me. If you guys are going to tweet, if you're going to super chat me about Tim, if it's something negative, I'm not going to read it anymore because I'm kind of over it. I don't have any bad blood there. And we just had this conversation about being optimistic. I'm an optimistic person. I want to move forward and I don't hover on things. I don't get caught up on stuff. So I'm not going to read out these negative things. So,
well, also I think one thing that's important to know is that when you have a large or growing following, you need to assess who your allies are and also be pretty cool. And you're also so focused on your own content and your own material and giving users, and in my case, survivors, something to look at. So like, we really don't have time to focus on what other people are doing or who's being a jerk or who's not being a jerk. Like, as long as our message is consistent, that's really, sorry, I don't mean to speak for you, Adam. I don't even really know what you're talking about. Nobody's got time to worry about what the next person's doing. We're just trying to get yep. what we're, I mean, we're all like living in this tumultuous, unsettling time. Nobody has yep. time to be throwing out shade to the next person.
Thank you. You don't know the story, but you're absolutely right. So Rod's All Things China says, FYI, put Donald because Google has banned the Trump word in super chats. Are you serious? Trump has, no one can super chat Trump. All right. If someone, I don't want you to just super chat me just to do it. But if you are going to super chat me between now and the end of the episode, just type Trump and see if it works. Or say, I tried to type the T word and it didn't work. Thank you so much. Don't do it if you're not going to. I don't want to. Don't just do it for me. But if you were going to do it, just try it to see. Steven Rugg says, Eliza, nice presenting at the Hotep 2020 Grifties. I was laughing so hard through the whole thing. I really needed that today. So thank you. It started during our episode today. So I'm a little bummed that I haven't watched it. So I'm definitely going to watch it literally right after this episode. I'm going to turn it on because I've been looking forward to that. Hotep's hilarious.
I'm so excited. Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah.
So for those who don't know, all right, this is Hotep Jesus. He's a YouTube personality, podcaster, a Twitter person. He's very outspoken, a good personality to know if you don't know who he is. You actually interviewed with him a couple weeks back. He was doing an award show called the Grifties, the 2020 Grifties, for the grifter, you know, the grifters grifting season, which they got a cool sweatshirt called, you know, it's grifting season. It's pretty good. I kind of want one, I'll be honest, but I'm looking forward to that. I don't know the channel, but you could probably find it up. Just type Hotep Jesus, Grifties, check it out. I'm sure it's funny. And Eliza, did you present an award? Is that what happened? That's so good.
Grifter of the year.
Grifter of the year. You presented Grifter of the year.
Grifter of the year.
Can you clue us in on the nominees at least? Who were the nominees?
LeBron James, Richard Spencer, Candace Owens. Forget whom else. I forget whom else.
Well, clearly the last one didn't win.
Maybe Sean King. Maybe Sean King.
That would make sense, actually. That would make sense.
Yeah, I forget, I filmed it kind of a while ago. I filmed it a while ago, but I knew it was coming up today. And so, yeah, it's Hotep's Been Told You, their podcast, did the Grifties, and they asked me a while ago to do it, and I was so excited because I wore, like, an evening gown.
I saw your gown.
And I got all dressed up for it. And
with the feather shoulders, it was good.
Yes, just wear it like full... Like did the uttermost, you know, and then made my own like red carpet and just was having a good time. Still have my stupid AirPods in though, but
that's all right.
Yeah, we had a really. They're like some of my favorite folks on the internet because we just have a good time, you know. know, like it's hilarious because I can be tweeting about something very heavy, but also be having a conversation with other people laughing. So it's odd. I hope that sometimes my real personality comes out on Twitter. It's difficult to do, but it's right. Like I can be having a full other, it's because I can file it differently in my brain and I'm really just trying to get the information out there. So there are folks that I really enjoy talking to, and they've been a great help for me. So yeah, we have fun with the grifties.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. Check it out, everybody. Let's see here. Where were we? Wimplow says, thank you for telling the world about sex trafficking. It is such an evil thing. The Gadianton robbers are coming out of the shadows. Let's shine some light on them so we can see how evil they are. Well, we're doing what we can. I'm not your buddy guy. Thank you for that super chat. Bibliophile says, podcast is a great idea. Reach out to Adam Curry from No Agenda. He'll help you get it set up on your budget. Very cool. Caleb Warden says, great podcast, Adam. I still think you were one of the best co-hosts on Tim Pool so far, or by far, but off of politics, sex traffic is important, from coyotes on the border or in general in the U.S. Well, thank you. And then thank you. And then I absolutely agree that it's very important that we need to talk about this stuff. So, and then a question for your guest. Now take the question from a humble place. Do you think normalizing sex work and body expression of women cause an influence of sex traffic more? What do you think about that?
Just to back up, because I want to go back to something else that was said just recently.
Sure.
So there is a difference when crossing the border between coyotes. Coyotes are a paid human smuggler. Human smuggling is much different than human trafficking. Someone can be paid. Someone can pay a coyote to human smuggle them and then end up being trafficked. But a coyote, there's a consensual agreement there with someone to consensually cross the border. Now, it is illegal to cross the border in that way, but that is not human trafficking. That is human smuggling. It's a much different situation. So human trafficking involves the sale of forced product coercion for the sale of labor or sex, and you don't even need to leave your own room or your own home to be trafficked. Data and statistics, the U.S. State Department showed us in 2019, in their report, that 77% of victims of human trafficking are trafficked within their country of origin. So I just wanted to say that. So and then with the sex work, you know what? I don't have any data to I've never seen a study to necessarily back that up. I'm not saying it's not out there, but human trafficking and pedophilia and slavery have been going on since the beginning of time. So I think it'd be a little bit disingenuous to completely blame it on one thing. And I think that you would be hard pressed to prove that sex work hadn't also been going on for a very long time. So we cannot necessarily just blame it on this. I would say that the internet has probably had a lot more to do with the explosion of human trafficking.
That's a good point. Yeah. Chioma, thank you for the super chat. This was a really hard show to listen to. If we all wanted to end this in a day, we could. We waste so much time focusing on fighting each other. If everyone just got along and really focused on what was really important in life, the world would be a better place, wouldn't you say, Chioma? I appreciate you. You're a constant follower to my show. I really do appreciate you always coming through. And it was a tough subject, you know, but sometimes these tough subjects are needed to be talked about, because this is one that is very prevalent and pressing. So and again, Eliza, thank you for even just coming on my show to talk about this to my audience. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely, Adam. Seriously, I was actually really looking forward to it. I just didn't know that today was going to be the day that I knew that it was coming, but I just didn't know that today would be the day. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I did talk to a few journalists earlier, but I didn't know that you were going to be my first. And I usually sort of prepare people. I've been preparing different interviewers, like, hey, you might be on that day. I just don't think I have prepared you. And I
No, you didn't. So... That's okay, though.
Day,
I like it.
You know, I couldn't even, honestly, I was so, I've just been so emotional all day, because, And then it's just been so wild because so many folks have rallied behind this, sort of like with the Pornhub situation. And I just feel like, wow, this is just really, it's this. I told Jane Doe, John Doe's mother, the minor sex trafficking survivor from Twitter that I, sorry to catch people up if they're new. I told her long ago that her son would change the trajectory of the internet forever for good. And I truly believe that John Doe's story, if we can amplify it consistently, will force Twitter to do what they should have done many years ago, which is remove the child sexual abuse material and human trafficking from their platform. It'll force Facebook to follow suit, which, by the way, Facebook is being sued by 3 minor human trafficking, female human trafficking victims as well.
Wow.
All filed as Jane Doe. You can Google it. Yes, there's Facebook is being sued. Human trafficking, they're being sued as well. This is nothing new. 94% of the child sexual abuse material, images, and videos are being reported from Facebook to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So this is nothing new. I have my own thoughts and theories behind that. I just think that Facebook is a little bit more aggressive in reporting them. I don't necessarily think it means that there is more on Facebook. It just means that there's more being reported from Facebook and that they're handling it at a higher rate. There's also more people on Facebook. So it's not necessarily a fair comparison. But I think that this case, John Doe's case, could be the catalyst to force social media, big tech's hand to make the changes they should have made long ago. Now, when we can fully remove the child sexual abuse material and human trafficking from the digital space, we have an opportunity to fully meet it head on the ground. And then we can maybe make some change.
Let's make it happen. Gabe wanted to clarify that Gabe never used the word for special people. Now, he said earlier that he was banned on Twitter for saying something was so he said he never used the word, but he got banned. Oh my goodness. Charles Bankster, thank you so much for that super chat. Didn't even say anything, but I appreciate it. Let's see. Sunny says, what kind of coding do online traffickers use, particularly when seeking underage victims? You see this coding with hobby or hobbyists replacing words like John or trick. I have no idea.
Yeah, the pedophiles, traffickers, and abusers are constantly changing how they speak to your children, how they speak to each other online. It's basically something you have to stay on top of at all times. You could follow a case happened last week of a gentleman getting charged he was in possession of 22,000 child sexual abuse material and videos. And I think they found him in New Jersey, and he was using Twitter in coded language. These abusers are really organized, and we have to stay a step ahead of them at all times. They are constantly changing the way that they talk to us and your children as well.
Wow. Mark Robershaw says, Adam brags all the time about his beauty. What? Me? No. No, I don't talk about the way I look. I do talk about my glorious beard. Is that what you're talking about? I've grown this. This is my first official beard in my life. I've never had such a beard before, so I feel like this is like the first one that I've ever had. So I'm proud of my beard. All right, so I talk about my beard. And yes, fine, the beard is beauty. I love my beard. Anyway, moving on.
Adam, you have more hair on your face than I have on my head, Adam.
That's probably true. That's probably true. There's a lot of hair in here. Is that by choice, or do you just like it short?
It's been short since I was 10. When I cut it short, Adam, I cut it during the movie when the movie Ghost came out. And I've had like a bob sometimes, but yes. And then I just cut it really short, and now it's just kind of the way it is, and I just kind of like it like this. Like it.
Yeah. It's much easier than, I mean, I just toss my hair in a bun every day. I just get it out of my way. I'm just lazy, honestly. That's really what it comes down to. Charles Bankster says, another hefty super chat. Thank you so much. Says, off topic, but please read all of what Rashida Tlaib said is advocating, not just her tweet. She is not as genuine as you think. Oh, I don't think she's genuine. I only was giving her props for that one tweet that she put out saying, don't let this stuff take away the civil liberties of Americans, because that's what they're seemingly that's what they're trying to do. So I was like, you know what? I got to give it to her on this one. Mark G says Adam can flaunt his beauty when he wants. Sorry, go ahead. That was a silly super chat.
Well, I was going to say, Adam, listen, yep. Let me get serious for a second.
Let's get serious.
I don't think that I necessarily value my freedom and liberties more than the average person, but I can honestly say, as somebody that has gone through periods of my life where I haven't had my own liberty and freedom, as a survivor of human trafficking, that is not something in America that you want to lose. I could tell you that. And I serve survivors internationally as well. And the situations in other countries can be very grim and very dire. And I would like to say to all Americans or anyone that's watching this, be very mindful of that. I can tell you, not having your freedom is something you don't want to find out what that is like.
Yeah.
You do not want to find out.
Agreed. Mark G says, hashtag simps for Adam. Okay, Mark G, thank you. You always give me the best super chats. Mark Robertshaw says, when you say locals, I think of a hookup site. Well, it's not a hookup site. It's just where I could see what you're saying, but no, it's actually just a cool site that is an alternative platform to have conversations. And it's cool because you can go to different communities and you get different notifications, so you can go to a community and kind of, you know, catch up on what you missed. It is a pretty cool site, actually. I've been using it more and more as the weeks go on. I just joined it about a month ago.
Okay, let me explain locals. Okay.
Go ahead.
I love locals. I love locals.
Yeah.
Okay. Locals is a completely free speech, censorship free content creative platform. So what it is it's kind of like a mixture between Facebook and Patreon. So you could support your content creators, but if you don't have any money, you can look at what your content creators are seeing and doing. And then when you do have money, you can come in and participate. Each content creator has their own community. So I have my own community. Clearly, I speak from the perspective of a survivor and as an advocate. And then folks post like their pets and things like that in my community. Michael Mouse has a community, Donald Trump Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Zuby Music, Adam, Bridget Fetisi, Yasmin Mohammed. There's so many folks on there. Scott Adams, Coffee with Scott Adams. There's so many folks in there with their individual communities. And each one has their own flavor and honestly, their own sort of tone. So the great thing about, and also Dave Rubin. Dave Rubin founded the site and has an amazing app that's very easy to use. And it's great because, and they're adding some new features soon, Adam. We'll be able to live stream in there soon. So I'm so excited. Cool. But
I'm looking forward to that. Play covers.
Yeah,
on there.
I'm really, yes. Yes, I'm very excited. They're changing at a very fast pace. And, you know, there's another benefit as well. They decided early on that they weren't going to do any type of pornography, which makes it so that there is zero child sexual abuse material on the platform. So they're making it 100% free, child sexual abuse and human trafficking free. And they moderate these communities to make sure that this type of activity is not going on in their platform. That is something that I spoke to them about very early on. I'm very grateful that I did. But there are so many. Oh, Dr. Drew's on there. Dr. freaking Drew. Greg Gutfeld. There's so many comedians on there. And they don't even pay me. I'm just keeping it real with you. Listen, Twitter's a thing of the past. Twitter is a thing of the past. They make money off of child porn. What more do you need to know?
Yeah, true.
What more do you need to know? Like,
true that.
I think that says it all right there. If you're cool with that, that's fine. Stay on Twitter or at least talk about the child porn situation on Twitter. If you want a real experience, meet authentic people, come over to locals.
There it is. There you have it. Let's see. Netlux TV says, get Sean Atwood on the stream. I don't know who that is, but I'll look into it. Sonny James says, please read my tweet about pedo coding. As someone in the basement, as an addicted and adult, this is very important. Okay, I'll check it out. I guess you added me on Twitter. Okay, so I'm just going to shout out all
really
these
quickly,
people. Oh, yeah, go ahead, please.
really quickly, be very mindful when we are drawing attention to pedophile, you know, pages that have pedophile or pedophile coding. Be very, very mindful, because that could trigger someone back to some of the most traumatizing, worst events of their lives. I've literally had to consult with different survivors that have experienced that material as a result of going down that rabbit hole, that are on the brink of suicide. When a survivor sees that material, or when someone that maybe has a past trauma sees that material, it can be very triggering and trigger self-harm, any type of addiction issue, or potentially suicide. So that's something we don't take very lightly.
Makes sense. Okay, so this is a list of all the people that that super chatted Trump at me when I asked you guys to. I said, don't do it just to do it, but if you're going to super chat me, so I'm just going to give a shout out to all these people. Mark G, Gabe, Treader, Tedder, Wimplow, Jacked, 057, Mark Robichaud, our co-fan, Mr. Squiggles, Batgoat, Mark Robichaud, says Biden, just to switch it up a little bit. Thank you all for saying Trump. You guys are all fantastic. Josh and Jesus says, what is her opinion of Brittany Pettibone? Do you have an opinion?
I have no idea what that is. What is that?
Neither do I. I don't know.
Oh,
so.
It's a person?
Sorry, Josh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess so. That's okay. Mark G says, do we win a bag of Krigler coffee now for the Trump super chats? Nope. Nope, sorry. That was it was like rolling the die. You know what? I'll roll the die, everybody.
Hey, Adam,
the die has been rolled. Yeah. What's up?
Krigler, I'm gonna nominate you for Grifter of the Year next year. Dang, man.
Whoa.
You're savage out here. You're savage.
I'm not grifting. What are you talking about? I'm strong in my convictions. I'm proud of the decisions I've made. I don't grift. Right. I stand for what I've said and what I believe. No.
That's right. By the way, I didn't get to choose who won the Grifter of the Year. I just presented the award.
Oh, that's fine. You know what? The dice game's already over. I rolled a 10, and Nuclear was the first person to guess and guessed 10. That's pretty nuts. That's never happened in the dice game. Congratulations, Nuclear. That's crazy. For you, I don't know if you know this. I have a die here that I roll, and people guess in chat. With the you know, I like to interact with chat, so. Congratulations, Nuclear. That was crazy that you won right off the bat. All right. Where were we? Mark Robinshaw says, sing us a song to finish the stream. Well, I don't know if it's exactly appropriate, but maybe. Brewmaster Monk says, have you watched the Salute the Marines Biden clip? Also, Trump left a front of 17 flags. Biden came in with 17 executive order. Something has to be going on. I guess maybe it's part of the plan. I can't even say it with a straight face anymore. Mark Robichaud says, I prefer Krigler tea. I don't have Krigler tea yet, Mark Robichaud, but Krigler tea bags all day. I do have coffee. I don't know if you know this. I started a coffee company, Krigler Coffee.
I saw.
Yeah.
I saw. I think
coffee.
That's cool.
Thank you. Sonny James
cool.
says,
I love coffee.
Yeah, you should try some. You should try some Krigler coffee. Owls, someone in the business, please address coding online specifically, especially when it comes to kids. We all know what hobbyists are. Well, I've learned a lot so far. So, and what an interesting way to finish it off. Ivy Rippenham says, I'm a hold some creeps down and fart on their heads. Okay. What an interesting way to finish the super chats. Thank you, Ivy Rippenham. You started us out strong and ended us strong as well. So listen, thank you everyone for joining in. Most importantly, Eliza, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this this subject, because, you know, it's definitely important to talk about. So thank you so much. Why don't you tell people how to follow you, get a hold of you? I do have your Twitter and handle and your locals website in the description just below. But I'm going to give you the camera and you could just let everyone know how to follow you.
Well, thanks so much again for having me, Adam. It's Eliza Blue. Blue is spelled B-L-E-U. And it's Twitter. Unless I get kicked off, which is highly likely, but whatever. It's at Eliza Blue, E-L-I-Z-A-B-L-E-U. I also started a Gab with the same name. Barely post, but I've been trying to get in there once a day. So it's at Eliza Blue on Gab as well. And then my locals is eliza.locals.com. And that's a great way to connect with me. And I also have an email in my bio on Twitter. If you have something private that you want to message to me, but I always recommend any survivor reaching out, call one of the hotlines. I'm not going to be your best resource to reach out for immediate care. And I also recommend to folks, please Google questions as well. Google or search engine of your choice is going to be a great resource if you have questions about human trafficking. You can always look at the human trafficking hotline website as well.
Well, thank you very much, Eliza.
Stay tuned this year for Victims Refuse Silence, my collaboration. With the Epstein survivors, Virginia and Teresa J. Helm, and then I'm kind of a third squad member, but I'm not an Epstein survivor. So I have some great things coming up with them in 2021. So stay tuned.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. I will be back tomorrow at 6:30 here on Atomcast IRL. It's jam night, so I'll be jamming some songs at my guitar. I'm not gonna play a song. But you know, you can tune in tomorrow. You know, it's Friday night. I always do a bunch of songs throughout the whole episode. So, thank you, Eliza, for joining me. Cool. And everyone have a wonderful night. I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Adam.
Please smash the like button for Atomcast IRL. Coming to you live every night, Monday through Fridays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time.